the Detroit Pistons won against the quote-unquote worst defense in the league and somehow showed them up. And this loss to the San Antonio Spurs, just we'll talk about this game and what this shows for the future in today's episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast.
You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's the deal? Welcome back to another episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast. Per usual, I'm your host, Kuka Hill. You can find me over on Twitter, at Kuka Hill. I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel, at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. And today's episode is brought to you by LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonNBA. Before we get into the episode today, I want to apologize to you guys listening on the podcast platforms. I did it again. I had the episode edited, scheduled to come out last morning, just like we usually do every single morning. You got an episode. I woke up today. I saw that I had it at schedule. I didn't actually click the schedule button. I just had it at schedule. So that's why last episode didn't come out until later in the day. I don't know what's going on with me with that, man. That's the second time I've done that this year. I can't keep doing that. So I apologize for that. Hopefully it won't happen again. So go check out that last episode. I'm sure a lot of you guys probably missed it because I posted it later on the day. Again, that's completely on me, my fault. So apologize for that. That was the game. That was the episode we capped Sadiq Bey's game winner. So definitely check that out. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and get into the San Antonio Spurs game and why I think this game kind of shows, like, it wasn't just about this game, but like it gives you a little bit of an outlook or something to look about into the future of this team. So for the past few weeks, I've told you guys that the San Antonio Spurs had the Pistons by like a few percentage points as the worst defense in the entire league this year. And I told you guys, I refuse to believe that there actually was a defense worse than the Detroit Pistons. People are like, oh, trust me, when you see the Spurs, it's going to be way worse. I promise. You got to look at them. They're awful. Well, we have to see them here. And the Pistons offense or the Pistons defense looked really, really bad. And I think it looked way worse than the Spurs defense did. It was just I had a few of you guys tweeting at me saying, quote unquote, putrid performance in my voice. So that's exactly what it was. An absolutely putrid performance defensively by the Detroit Pistons. And look, we've talked about it so much this year. We've talked about this team's defense nonstop all year. But that's not going to stop me from continuing to talk about it. It's seriously embarrassing. It's one of the more embarrassing things to watch or have be put on tape in recent years with a Detroit sports team. Now, mind you, I say that as someone who doesn't watch baseball and doesn't keep up with hockey. So, you know, that may be an ignorant opinion. I don't know how the Red Wings and Tigers have done. But, like, the defense is just so putrid that you have Sam Vecenie of The Athletic saying that this team is incredibly hard to watch. You had, and this right here might be the most embarrassing part about it. You had a San Antonio Spurs writer tweet out during the game, quote, there are some interesting players on this Pistons team, but this team is borderline unwatchable. Not trying to jinx San Antonio, but I think they should walk away with the win as long as they don't implode themselves. You know how embarrassing, just put that into context. You know how embarrassing that is to have that said about your team when they're going against the San Antonio Spurs in 2023? You're not going against the Warriors or the Cavs or the Celtics, the Bucks, the Nuggets, and their writers saying that about a great team having to play against this team. You're going against arguably the worst team in the NBA, and they're saying that about you. You know how freaking embarrassing that has to be? It's bad. It's so bad. And just before we move into what I want to talk about with the future, just to give you some of the numbers for this game, the Spurs shot 55% from the floor. Just, like, what? They shot 55% from the floor, 37% from three-point land, and 84% from the free throw line. They got 26 free throws, 9 more than the Pistons got. The Pistons also turned the ball over 15 times, which is much more than it did in the previous game. It was bad, man. And what I'm talking about with the future, when I say this game gives you something to look for, like in the future, I tweeted this out. I've kind of been beating around the bush saying this on the podcast, but it's January 6th when I'm recording this, and I'm done. I'm done beating around the bush. I'm tired of like hiding and not coming full-fledged and saying it. I'm going to go ahead and say it now. Any player on this team right now that doesn't play defense, doesn't try to play defense, or is awful on defense should not be on this roster next year. And I mean anybody. Before the year, we've already reassessed my take from before the year when I said I would sacrifice some defense for some offense. Worst take I've ever had. And now, look, I've seen enough of it to say I'd rather have zero spacing. They have to watch a team get beat on backdoor cuts and backdoor cuts and backdoor cuts than to watch a team just give up drive at the drive at the drive from the point of attack defense. I'd rather watch a team miss 25 threes in a row, Houston Rockets style, on this court than watch that happen over and over and over and over again. And that's what happened tonight, and that's what's been happening all freaking season for the Detroit Pistons. And really, you know, the rookies get a little bit of a pass, even though I've said on a few occasions that some of Jaden Ivey's miscues defensively kind of have me a little worried about his future, but again, rookies get some of a pass. I'm not really including him in this, but again, I do want to highlight that some of his defensive miscues are a bit worrisome for me. But outside of that, this team, and look, this is going to be a bold statement to some of you. I don't care anymore. I can't. There's no way that we can watch this team, how they've played defensively, and think a statement like I'm about to make is unwarranted. Like, there's no way you can feel that way. There's no way this team should be going into the offseason with both Bojan and Sadiq Bey on the same team. One of them has to go. One of them has to go. Maybe even both of them. Maybe even both of them have to go. This league is a wing-dependent league. And if the main argument for not getting rid of Bojan, or if the main argument has been for not getting rid of Sadiq Bey, is because, well, next year, this team's trying to compete. Why are we trying to get rid of players for future assets if we want to compete next year for a playoff spot? I'm telling you right now, if you have both those guys on next year's roster, you're not competing for nothing. You're going to be competing for another number one overall pick. Like, you're not competing for a damn thing. You can't compete with no good defenders on the wing. It's not going to happen. You can't have two traffic cones on defense at the wing in a wing-dependent league. It's not going to happen. So at the very least, one of them has to go. One of them has to go. It gets to a point where Dwayne Casey, he has no option on what to play when the defense is this bad and there's multiple miscues happening and multiple mishaps happening. It's not like he has just because he was on the other team tonight. It's not like he has like a Stanley Johnson defensive specialist to be like, hey, go get in the game. We need your defense. They don't have that on the roster anywhere. All they have is a bunch of guys who play selfish basketball, who look for their own scoring wise and don't play defense. So if the Pistons, look, for the rest of this year, if you want to try to get assets for the future, if you're trying to look at overall team building for the overall future, 3 to 5 years, if you're looking at trying to compete for next year, if you're looking to try to compete and look like a better team for the better half of the back end of this year, all of those include getting one of these two guys. You can't have both of them. You can't have both of them on the same team and think your defense is not going to continue to be this bad. It's just not going to happen. You can't have both of them. You can choose who you want to get rid of. You guys can argue about it in the comments. You guys can tell me who you think should be the one that goes. But I'm telling you right now, with Jaden Ivey, who is a rookie, but I think that he may just be someone who may not, I don't know if he'll be a straight up poor defender, but I think he's probably going to end up being somewhere below a below average defender, someone who's just passable defensively at his size. That's why I think he probably figures out to be at. But with Jaden Ivey, you cannot also have Bojan Bogdanovic and Sadiq Bey. It's just, you can't. It can't happen. So one of them have to go. Figure out who it is. You guys argue about it. You guys tell me who you think should be the one to go. But in the offseason, the Pistons, or even at the deadline, if the Pistons don't address their wing room, their wings on this team, if they don't get better on in that department, this team is not competing for a damn thing next year. It's not competing for a thing at the end of this year. It's not competing for something in 2 years, 3 years. They need some wings that can play defense. That can play defense. They have none right now. It's despicable to watch. Let me know what you guys think about that in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Kuka Hill. When we come back, I want to kind of take that topic right there about the future and possibly trading one of these guys or trading anybody on this roster and bring up something that we heard from Woj today or on January 6th, something that he's been reporting and how that should figure into the Pistons' plans for what they want to do at the deadline this year. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, I have to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, LinkedIn. LinkedIn Jobs. As a small business owner or hiring manager, you know that success in 2023 all depends on the team members you surround yourself with. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. With LinkedIn Jobs, you can hire qualified candidates more efficiently by matching open roles with people who have the skills, values, and experiences to help you achieve your goals. LinkedIn Jobs helps you quickly attract qualified candidates to your open jobs with targeting tools. They go beyond resume data by using insights from your job post, company, and their 875 million member profiles to post your job in front of the most qualified candidates. Identify the most qualified candidates at LinkedIn Jobs and connect with them fast and for free. LinkedIn Jobs makes it easy to screen and rate applicants based on your job's qualifications all on one platform. And what's a better way to reach your goals this early in the year of 2023 by finding the perfect match for your job? It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster and easier. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockdownnba. That's linkedin.com/lockdownnba to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Again, that's linkedin.com/lockdownnba. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so after a loss like this, and look, it's not just this loss, even though I feel like this loss is what really pushed me over the edge. It really has just been everything building throughout the year. The Pistons are the second worst ranked defense in the league. I believe they actually are the worst defense in the league. I don't care if they're a few percentage points ahead of the Spurs. I think they're the worst in the league. And for a team that has some tradable assets on this team, some assets, some players that we're not sure fit into next year's vision or the future's vision, with all those things and a few, and it, you know, rumors have said that there are quite a few teams interested in quite a few of the Pistons pieces that may be questionable on this roster moving forward. With all that coming into fray, there's been a lot of talk about, will the Pistons trade this person? Will the Pistons trade that person? Who should they be trading it for? What's the value? Is it worth keeping them to the offseason? Should they keep them to next year? All this kind of stuff has been talked about. Even though it's been a little bit, we haven't talked about it a lot because I don't want to dive into that kind of stuff this early into the season. But I feel like this is where the Pistons have pushed ourselves into. And Adrian Wojnarowski on ESPN today, I feel like really kind of took this conversation forward a little bit. Even though it wasn't just Woj, there was some other reporting from, I believe Jake Fisher, even though I know he isn't the most trustworthy person, but I believe a few other people have reported some kind of the same things. Either way, Woj on ESPN today, or on the 6th while I'm recording this, you guys will probably be listening to this on the 7th. On the 6th, he reported, they were talking about the Lakers, and he basically said, while talking about the Lakers, that the problem with the Lakers right now and trying to trade players and trying to get people is that there is a lot more buyers than sellers right now on the market, which means it's a seller's market right now. The demand is heavy right now. There's a ton of teams trying to buy, trying to find some teams that are ready to blow it up, find some teams that have some good players that are tanking, snag them from there, give some assets because they believe the championship is wide open this year. And they're right. There's no, I don't think there's a heavy favorite in the East. I don't think there's a heavy favorite in the West. The West is much more balanced than the East. I feel like in the East, it's the Bucks and Celtics and the Nets now. But in the West, it's wide open between like one through nine. It's like three games separate all of them. I think this is the most parity we've seen, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch in the playoffs. But there's probably like close to 10 to 12 teams that feel like they could, if they add one more piece, if they can add just something, they could get there. So it's a seller's market right now, which means demand is high, which means you will have, you'll be able to hold, like put teams against each other, which will raise value, which means teams like the Pistons should be taking advantage, in my opinion. If it's a seller's market and teams will be bidding against each other because they believe they need that one more piece. And we've seen that there's at least six teams that are interested in Bojan Bogdanović. And I saw a report recently that said there's at least four teams interested in Sadiq Bey. And I'm sure there's plenty of teams interested in Alec Burks as well. You combine all of that with the fact that teams may be overpaying for some of these assets because they believe this year is wide open and they'll be bidding against each other for the same pieces. The Pistons 100%, I don't care what anybody says, the most logical thing, if you hear all that information, the most logical thing to do is to take advantage of that and sell off on your assets while they're at their peak. What their peak value, which it figures to be at their peak value at the deadline because of what Woj is reporting, what many people are reporting with how many teams are trying to be buyers and how few teams are selling. If there's only a few teams selling, the Pistons are going to be one of those few teams. If there's only a few teams with assets to give to contenders, I guarantee you the Pistons are one of those few teams. The Pistons probably have the most hot asset on the market right now in Bojan Bogdanović. I'm assuming if Kyle Kuzma gets traded, he'll be one of the other hot targets. Sadiq Bey probably is going to be another hot target for some teams. Alec Burks, I have to assume, is going to be another one of the hottest ones on the market. He would really help some teams, really help, especially the Lakers. I think he'd really help the Lakers. But I think, honestly, a sneaky team I think Alec Burks would really help is the Dallas Mavericks. But I think he would actually really help them a lot. But look, like I said, with all the things we talked about in the first segment, which with at least Bojan and Sadiq, I think it's already been clear enough for a while now, but I just haven't said it. But I'm going to say it now. Their fit doesn't work. And I have questions about both of their futures on the team moving into next year and beyond. With both of them being wanted by other teams and their fit being questioned and their value. I thought the Sadiq's value would be pretty low, and that's why I said in an episode a few weeks ago I wouldn't trade him. But if the market is a seller's market right now, I think the Pistons may get a few teams to be able to have a bidding war over him and may be able to raise his value a little bit. Now, if obviously, I just want to put this out there. Obviously, you don't just sell them for cheap. If it being a seller's market, you still get undercut and teams don't want to raise their value and the offers are trash, you obviously don't do the trade, okay? I don't know why I feel like people always assume when you talk about trading a player, everyone's always like, or not everyone, but a lot of people are just like, why are we just trying to give players away? No, we're not donating players. Obviously, if you don't get the offer that's worth it, you don't do it. But I'm figuring, based on everything that we've heard and based off all the reporting, the Pistons will get an offer they like from somebody eventually. And if that's the case, listen, man, they need to be pulling off some moves. This year is going nowhere. I believe that you can easily replace Bojan Bogdanović and Alec Burks, what they're giving you, in the offseason. Honestly, if you want to be honest, I don't think they really need to replace what Bojan's giving them. I think they need to replace Bojan with a different archetype of a player. They need an athletic defensive wing, desperately. So if you swap that out for a sharpshooter who doesn't play defense, I think that's a fine swap. So they can do that in the offseason. They can find other just pure shooters on the market and pay them. They have a ton of cap space. They can replace those guys. So if you can use the cap space in the offseason to replace those guys while also bringing in other assets in the future that will then enable you to be able to play in the trade market this offseason, I feel like that's what the Pistons have to do. They have to do this, especially seeing how these guys fit together, how they're playing together. Look, man, I think it's easy. I think it's an easy answer here. I think it's quite clear. I think it's the most logical thing to do. I don't know. To me, it's very simple. Like, I don't even see the other side to it. I'm sure some of you guys will see the other side of it. If you guys, you know, think differently, let me know in the comment section down below and tell me why. But I'm if you want me to be completely honest, I'm being completely unbiased and being completely analytical here, just analyzing this. I don't see how anyone could argue against that. If everything we're hearing is true and what the Pistons have and what they've been presented with so far this year, I don't see how you don't do it. I don't see how you don't try to auction these guys off and get value for them at this time. So I don't know. I guess we'll see what happens. But yeah, this is how bad this loss broke me. I told you guys I didn't want to get into this kind of talk this early in the year. It's only January. I didn't want to get into this talk already, talking about the future, talking about getting rid of everybody, getting rid of all these players for future assets already. It's only January. We have a hell of a lot more season to go. But this is where they put me at. This defense, I believe one of you guys tweeted at me. I didn't check the stats. I should have. But one of you guys tweeted at me, this is now officially the Pistons' worst defense in team history, according to the numbers. I didn't double check that, so that may be off, but I wouldn't be surprised if that's true. And if it is, wow, what a damn embarrassing stat, especially considering how bad the Pistons have been over the last 13 years, 15 years, with a few, you know, good years sprinkled in there. What a damning stat. So that's where I'm at with it. Let me know what you guys think in the comment section down below or over on Twitter at Cooper Hill. When we come back, there were a few bright spots in this game, I guess. We'll hit on those when we come back. But first, I got to tell you guys about one of our sponsors, BetOnline.net. BetOnline.net is your number one source for sports betting info, stats, news, and analysis. Get the latest odds and trends for every professional and amateur league out there. From pro football, the college bowl season, to basketball, they've got it all covered at BetOnline.net. If you love sports podcasts, you can even find those at BetOnline as well. We're always the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. And if you head over to BetOnline.net right now and you click on that basketball tab, you will see the betting favorites or the odds on favorites for all kinds of things, for MVP, for championship odds, for rookie of the year, for sixth man of the year, for most improved player of the year, for person or team to finish with the worst record in the league, who's the odds on favorite to go first in the draft up in this offseason. You see all that kind of stuff over at BetOnline.net. You can click that over at the basketball tab and you'll be seeing all of that. You can also check out the football tab. I know the NFL season's coming to a close. You can see who they think is going to win the MVP, all that kind of stuff, all the awards coming up for the NFL. You can check that all out at BetOnline.net. Head to their website today or use your mobile device to learn more about their trends and action today. BetOnline, where the game starts. So I want to thank you guys again for making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons, hit that subscribe button, or leave us a five-star review on whatever podcast platform you are listening to this on. That's another great way to support the podcast. All right, so this game was bad. It was. It was really bad. Really, really embarrassing. There was a stretch there in the third quarter where even Greg Kelser was getting so sick of the selfish basketball that he had been witnessing in that third quarter by a certain lineup that he had to talk about it for a good 2 minutes. And that's something, again, along with the defense just being utterly putrid, you've also gotten selfish basketball on too many occasions offensively. And that's something that you got both of tonight after a game that, you know, they did a pretty decent job sharing the basketball. But that's been what this team is for the large majority of this year. A team that doesn't play defense, that plays for themselves offensively. And that's made for a terrible watch and a really bad team and arguably the worst team in the NBA. Despite that, though, there were a few bright spots in this game, I guess. I think Jalen Duren continues to just play well for his age, even in games where it feels like he doesn't have as big of an impact, even for games where it doesn't feel like he was that great. When you go and look at the box score, which that's how I described tonight for him. He wasn't that, I wouldn't say he jumped off the screen that much. He wasn't like this big impactful thing that was, you know, noticeable all the time. He's gotten to a point where that is a game that looks like 11 points, 9 rebounds, 2 steals, 5 of 8 from the floor. For a rookie, a guy who's the youngest player in the NBA, that in and of itself, this will continue to be like a positive each night out. So Jalen Duren is continues to do his thing. Again, like I said, it's not something that you really need to spend time talking about at this point, I feel like it's just something that we all are aware of, that he's the youngest player in the league, and this is becoming like a norm for him. And that's big things for the future with him. But the two bright spots, I'd say, is the Pistons backcourt. They finally had a night, which I don't think... I'm sure you guys could find a game in which it's happened before, but it hasn't happened often, where they both shoot well from the floor and score well from the floor. Now, last game, they didn't shoot well from the floor, but were great taking care of the ball. Neither of them turned the ball over. And I'm talking about Jaden Ivey and Killian Hayes, by the way. My fault. They didn't turn the ball over at all in the last game. But in the Spurs game, Killian had 5 turnovers. I believe he had like 3 of them early. And then Jaden Ivey had 2 turnovers himself. So they had 7 turnovers between the two. That wasn't as good. But they scored very efficiently, and they scored a ton for the Pistons in this game. Jaden Ivey had 20 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 2 of 2 from deep. He had 5 assists to go along with that. And Killian Hayes, I think Killian was the best player on the court for the Pistons tonight. He had 18 points on 8 of 14 shooting, 2 of 5 from deep, 7 assists, 5 steals, and 3 rebounds. Both those guys were really good offensively for the Pistons. I thought Killian was really damn good offensively, good defensively, I should say, not offensively. Defensively, I thought he was also really good on ball and off ball for the team, drawing a few charges, making a good rotations, being active in the passing lanes, disrupting plays. I thought he was really, really good tonight. And Jaden Ivey, I thought, was really aggressive, getting to the basket. You saw a little bit less of the pull-up jumpers, which I had talked about in the last podcast. I liked that. He was really aggressive getting into the rim. I really liked that. He had 5 assists, only 2 turnovers. And like I said, I know last game he had 0 turnovers, but 5-2, you know, that's basically a 2-to-1 turnover ratio, like a little bit over 2-to-1 turnover assist to turnover ratio. Not bad. You'll take that. The one thing with Jaden Ivey is just his defense, but he's a rookie, so you hope that he just gets better at that. Right now, I think his biggest weakness defensively is his point of attack defense. He gets blown by a little bit too much. Not a little bit, a lot. But that's the one thing that was a negative with these guys and both of their turnovers. Killian was really bad with turnovers tonight. He had 5 of them. That's not very good at all for him. But outside of that, man, you could nitpick some of their game tonight. But in a game where, you know, was this bad for the Pistons defensively, I think you could take away Killian Hayes's and Jaden Ivey's game tonight. The fact that they both showed up, were efficient, scored the ball in the same night together, that was big time. And if the Pistons could play any kind of defense, if they could play a lick of defense, I think those two guys could have got the Pistons this win tonight. And that's actually something I want to talk about real quick to wrap up the podcast. I know we're going a little bit longer. One, Dwayne Casey has staggered both of them. That's something we've asked for since Cade got hurt, to stagger these guys and play them more minutes. And we're starting to see that the last two games. Killian's played 35 minutes back-to-back games. Jaden Ivey got to close this game. He played 33 minutes. So I'm liking that. I think that's a really good adjustment from Dwayne Casey. I've been asking for that for months since Cade went down. So that's, I'm really happy to see that. And lastly, look, I think when Killian Hayes and Jaden Ivey are both playing well offensively and scoring the ball offensively, shooting the ball really well, the Pistons should go to them down the stretch and try to have them create offense for everybody instead of the Bojan show, who shot 9 of 20 tonight. Bojan didn't have a terrible game, but it's like he had 4 turnovers and 3 assists. This is just who Bojan's been all year. He's a good shooter. He's a good scorer, but trying to go Bojan time at the end of every game just isn't, it doesn't work. It's worked one time, I believe, and that's last game. It never, ever works. He's just not that good of a passer. He's not a good playmaker. He doesn't have great vision. So especially when your two guards, your backcourt is playing really well and scoring the ball and shooting the ball well, go to them. Let them try to create the offense. Let them be the closing offense for you. I really think that Jaden Ivey and Killian Hayes should have been the Pistons' closing offense tonight. There was back-to-back plays when Killian had a step-back 3 in isolation, then a pull-up jumper in isolation. He scored. Then Ivey scored on a few drives to the rim and in transition. And then they just – and then Greg Kelsey said in the broadcast, I think they need to go Bojan time. And then sure enough, they got like four straight possessions of Bojan that resulted in one made shot, two turnovers, and a missed shot. Like it doesn't work. It hasn't worked all year. So especially in a game tonight, when you're backwards playing really well, I really would have liked to see the Pistons go to Jane Ivey, go to Killian Hayes, and have them take them home, or at least try to take them home. I think this is the kind of game where even if they fail and they don't play well doing it, they deserve the right to have that kind of experience because of how they play throughout the game. So that's how I feel about that. But we'll wrap up the podcast right there, man. Tough loss. Had me thinking a lot about the future, a lot about the trade deadline, a lot about moving on from some guys and getting some value, also because of what Woj had been reporting. So that's what they've done to me. This team has done to me, man. It's a tough scene. Victor better be worth it. He better be worth it, man. That's all I've got for you guys today, though. Appreciate you guys making Locked On Pistons your first listen of every single day. We are free and available on all your podcast platforms. If you haven't already, head to the YouTube channel at Locked On Pistons. Hit that subscribe button. Leave us a 5-star review on whatever podcast platform you're listening to this on. Until the next episode, I'll see you guys later. Oh, actually, real quick. Oh, my God. I forgot to tell you guys. Just real quick to signing off. If you guys want to join us, me and Bryce Simon, host of the Pistons Pulse podcast, for our watch party on Sunday at 3 p.m., go to playback.tv/PistonsWatch. You can join us in the room, watch the game with us, chat with us during the game. It's a lot of fun, so head over there if you want to join us during the game. But that's really it. I'll see you guys in the next episode. Go Pistons. Stay safe out there, everyone. And until next time, I'll see you guys later. Peace out.